Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me, a homeschool father of six. And Steve, we want to be sure that we are not conforming ourselves to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, we need to see ourselves through the lens of the Word of God, especially now. We must use the Word of God as our standard against whatever is going on in the world. The world does not do anything for us, does not give us a standard. It certainly is shifting sands, and we are seeing things change rather rapidly. As I think about history, and we are certainly playing a part in history, I wonder what future generations will think as they look back on the turn of the 21st century. Where will we stand in history? This is the age of transgender three-year-olds, 90 million dead babies since 1973, homosexualized curriculum for eight-year-olds, Disney flicks explaining the benefits of homosexuality to eight-year-old Christian kids, microaggressions, snowflaked out universities, drag queen storybook hour at your local library. 100 years from now, what will people think about this era at the turn of the 21st century? They're going to be asking the question, what were they thinking?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more of, are they insane? How'd they get to where they were? I mean, it's just crazy. Are they nuts?
People are completely out of their minds.
Yeah, I think that's closer rather than what were they thinking.
Is it possible for us to step back and look at what is going on? We live in an ignominious age, my friends. I love that word, but it basically means that we live in the most degraded, perverted, disposable age ever. That's where we are. This is nothing to write home about.
That's for sure. You know, why would you write home about this? Your parents would think you're nuts too.
Friends, history matters, and we need a better perspective of ourselves. If we compare the present age and everything I just spoke of by the Word of God and the truth that comes from God's Word and by history, I don't know that as if there's ever been a time in history, name a time in history in which we have had this issue with transgender three-year-olds, homosexualized curriculum for eight-year-old kids, microaggression, snowflaked out universities, and drag queen storybook hour at local libraries. That would have been back in the 1840s.
Yeah, I don't
the
even
1720s.
Know. Yeah.
Perhaps there was some of that happening in the 1670s.
Yeah, I don't even know if the French Revolution was this bad.
And the French Revolution only lasted for, 3 to 4 to 5 years after all the guillotines and all the heads rolled. That was the end of it. And friends, that's pretty much going to be the end of our society as well. Give it 3 years, 5, 6, maybe 8 max.
You mean we have to keep putting up with this?
For at least 8 years.
Okay.
Well, friends, we're going to talk history. If you do not study history and you don't understand the mistakes in history, you're going to be bound to repeat them. History gives you a good perspective as to what is happening around us today. There are those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And there are those who wonder what happened. 95-98% of the population sits around wondering what happened. But we must be students of history to have a fairly balanced perspective of what is going on in our time, in our place. Well, we have a major history drive going on right now as part of this ministry. We have some online courses. We have had some real-time video that we have shot. And, of course, this radio program as well comes back to the subject of history again and again, friends, because it's vitally important that your young people, your children, stand in a proper perspective of history. They must be rooted in history. They must understand their place in history. This is absolutely important. And we asked the parents that listen to our program and those that are connected to our ministry, we asked 100,000 parents. We have asked them, what are the issues that you confront as you teach your children history as part of your homeschooling program? And it turns out the number one concern concerning history curriculum for most parents that answered that question was this: history is just plain boring.
Wow.
History is just not interesting. It's not meaningful to their children. And so, friends, this is exactly what we are trying to correct. In other words, this is the highest heresy. To say that history is boring is to say that God is boring.
Yeah.
And to say that whatever God is doing in history is boring and that there is no meaning to what God is doing in history, which means it's effectively a denial of the existence of God and the sovereignty of God and the purpose of God's hand working providentially throughout history. History should not be boring. For one thing, the truth of God's word gives us the means of interpreting history, defining right and wrong. You know, I want to know who the heroes are and who the goats are in history. I want to know who the good and bad guys are in history. I want to know who the good guys are and the bad guys in history. Was Adolf Hitler a hero in history? Or was he a goat, or doesn't it really matter? Was George Washington a hero in history and should be included in our compendium of great American heroes, in our American Faith Compendium of 27 great sketches of the greatest American exemplars of Christian faith in American history? It's called American Faith. We just released it. It's available this week. And of course, we have the gigantic history sale going on right now. But, you know, the Word of God really ultimately gives us a paradigm whereby we can determine what is right, what is wrong. And, you know, we take sides in history. I want to take sides in history. And we're going to do that in just a moment. But, friends, God is real. History is real. It should never be boring. We need to tie history into what's going on right now. We may be heading for another world war, devastating wars. God has sent wars to the world before, especially during periods of time in which the world has turned its back on God and has lifted its fist in the face of God. And God brought world wars upon a world that turned away from him. So we're not playing games here. This is a real deal. These devastating world wars of the 20th century were real, and God could bring these wars back in the 21st century. So again, this is real. History is real. Engage. God is doing something in history. This is the way we write our history courses, America in God's Providence and American Faith. We need to see the facts tying together better as well. We need to see the whole thread of history. We need to see the kingdom of God working out in history. These aren't just meaningless, disconnected events. History needs to be more in story form as well, Steve. I have a little bit of a beef with a bulletized historical approach where you're just spewing out these various events, these dates and places and wars and presidential inaugurations and all the other things where you're just spraying facts at the student. And, you know, this happens because there are all these lists of requirements for college entrance exams, and there are state requirements that will force you to sort of bulletize the facts to prepare your kids for the college entrance exams. And so this removes a sense of connectedness to the facts. It produces a stupid way to teach history.
Yeah, you need to ask the question, why? Why does it matter? And what's the impact?
That's right. And what's the purpose? And secondly, how are these facts tied together in the overall story? And so we need to present history in the form of story. And that's what we do in American Faith. That's what we do in Taking the World for Jesus. That's what we do in America and God's Providence. American Faith, of course, 27 stories of the lives of people. Friends, once a year, we have our big history sale going on right now. Free postage, free international postage as well for those who pay a certain price and such. But we also have 25 to 35% off on the cover price of many of our books and packages. And we also provide special bonuses for those who will spend over $50 and so forth and so on. So in some cases, up to 70% off on some orders. Anyway, it's all going on right now as part of the Generations Ministry at generations.org. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leiden, and William the Silent? the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio. I love history. Can you tell? I love history. I'm a history buff.
Yeah, I really enjoy history. I love going back and reading about it and asking the question, what difference does it make? And how can I learn from this so that I don't make the same mistakes?
I think it makes a huge difference in the lives of ourselves and our children to recognize what's happened previously in history and how we will take up this amazing providential history and play our part on this stage. And this is a real stage, and this is the real deal. It only goes one time, and you play it once, and that's it. And so, you know, we all play a part in history. We challenge our children to understand history and realize that they play the next part in this amazing providential outworking of the most amazing story in all of existence. Okay, my friends, here's one of the things I like to do. I like to take sides in history.
Yeah.
And I think you should take sides in history.
You mean you're biased?
I'm biased. Absolutely, I'm biased. And you know, the word of God is biased. There are some kings that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and some that did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So there are good kings and bad kings.
That seems intolerant.
Well, yeah. But as it turns out, everybody takes sides in
history. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Everybody says, you know, I like Hitler or I don't like Hitler. That's pretty much the way it goes. Now, there's a lot of ambivalence. I get that, especially amongst those who are trying to be polytheistic and not take any kind of position in terms of an ethical right or wrong. That is, they're trying to be absolutely relativistic about it. But that's one of the reasons why we like to bring our favorites in, our top tens, and our favorites. And friends, we're going to hit the most wicked man in history first, and then we're going to talk about the most courageous man and the most wicked woman in history. Who would that be? Well, let's talk about the most wicked man in history. I have a couple runner-ups. Runner-up number one is Pharaoh Neferhotep, number one, the first. He was right about 1400 BC, and you know what happened about 1400 BC. By the way, he built a pyramid for himself, but his mummy never showed up. It's interesting.
Yeah.
One of the few pharaohs where, you know, he built a pyramid, but nobody ever heard of his mummy. His reason, of course, his mummy was at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Yes.
That's why. Okay. So Pharaoh Neferhotep the first, it would certainly be on the list. Why? Because he hardened his heart 10 times, was it? I'm trying to remember. 10 times, and then he chased God's people down towards the Red Sea, and then he lost the battle. But Pharaoh Neferhotep would be one of the big tyrants and one of the bad guys in history. Certainly hardened his own heart against God, and God hardened his heart as well. But Pharaoh Neferhotep the first, most likely the pharaoh that was opposing God's people at the point of the Exodus. Okay, runner-up number two for the most wicked man in history would be Herod the Great.
Yeah.
King Herod. He had his brother-in-law, Aristobulus, drowned. Aristobulus happened to be the high priest at the time. Herod the Great also killed his wife and his two sons. Augustus Caesar said of Herod the Great, "It is better to be Herod's dog than one of his sons."
Yeah.
That was Augustus Caesar concerning Herod the Great. The runner-up number three would be Nero.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised he's not in the top.
Well, he's runner-up number three. And number three because he was responsible for the first persecution against God's people. And of course, he was the one that introduced homosexual marriage for the first time to the Western world, at least in the official way. So Nero would be effectively the leader of that which is most evil in the history of the Roman Empire. And certainly the Roman historians believe the same thing. Okay, so of the most wicked men in history, Pharaoh Herod. And by the way, both Pharaoh and Herod were responsible for the killing of children. So I'd point that out as well.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say this is because the scriptures bring these things out. And I think we could agree with scripture on that. Runner-up number four, this may shock you. And by the way, this I'm open for any of your suggestions as well, sure. Steve. But in my study of history, runner-up number four for the most wicked man in American history would probably be Richard Nixon and his appointments of Lewis Powell, Harry Blackmun, and Warren Burger to the U.S. Supreme Court, initiating the huge Holocaust in America in 1973. I mean, you kind of have to trace it back. I mean, who are these guys?
Yeah.
There were actually human beings on the Supreme Court in the United States in 1973. How did they get there? Largely because of Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean, I know there are Richard Nixon fans around, but it's just sad to say that if you consider the slaughter of 80 million babies in America to be an evil act of some sort, you would have to conclude that Lewis Powell, Harry Blackmun, Warren Burger, and Richard Nixon were problems.
Yeah, they were at least quite responsible for that decision in Roe v. Wade. Yes.
Yes. Okay, runner-up number five would be Lenin, Stalin, and Mao Zedong, responsible for 200 million dead persons, at least. It's hard to count the number of dead bodies that came about through these communist revolutions of the 20th century, but they're up there. In terms of body count, Lenin, Mao, and Stalin would be very much up there. And don't forget that Russia and China have led the world in abortion rates and infanticide rates in the last 100 years. And of course, these are the bloodiest centuries. I think this has been the bloodiest century in history.
Yeah, with forced abortions in China all of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you add that to it. Most people don't add that to it. But if you're just doing body count, I think it's fair to add the number of babies that have been slaughtered at the behest of these men.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, Russia is still number one in terms of the highest abortion rate in the world. And I believe China is number one in terms of the highest number of abortions in the world in any given year. So China and Russia, still the worst nations in the world when it comes to this kind of violence. And so I would include Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong, and some of the other leaders. I wouldn't just say them, but the other leaders that have led these bloody holocausts. And I would include Adolf Hitler in that list as well. Okay, and then there's runner-up number six would be Karl Marx. And the reason I say Karl Marx is because ideologically, it seems Karl Marx is behind these men probably more than any other person, with perhaps the exception of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But Karl Marx, part of the ideological shift that occurred and brought about some of the Holocaust that we have experienced in America, and I would say abortion as well, is attributed to men like Karl Marx and the ideology of Karl Marx, who was certainly behind the egalitarian concept of feminism in the 19th century. So, by the way, my book, Apostate, The Man Who Destroyed the Christian West, will give you a concept for exactly how evil these men were to bring about such devastation to the world. Well, but then, you know, I was thinking Karl Marx might be the most wicked man who ever lived, and I would put him very much up there. But I'm still going to say that the winner of this particular category, and I use that term winner and in quotes because it's not a very good position to be into. Ignominious, again, probably the best way to put it. The winner for this category, the most wicked man who ever lived, would have to be Annas.
Annas?
Yes, Annas.
So who's Annas?
Well, Annas and Judas. Annas was responsible for the execution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Annas and his son-in-law, Caiaphas.
Yes.
So the house of Annas and Judas be responsible for this. Now, Annas was the high priest up to AD 15, and he had put so many people to death, he was disqualified by the Roman authorities. He had this bad habit of trying to put people to death.
That's pretty bad when Rome condemns
when
you for
something. Rome condemns you for that kind of thing,
because they crucified tens of thousands.
Rome considered Annas just too cruel.
Wow.
He was a very cruel man.
And Rome was one of the most cruel.
And about half of the high priests from AD 15 to AD 70 were the household of Annas, Caiaphas and others, Annas's sons and grandsons. They almost completely controlled the high priesthood, and they had great political connections with Herod and others. And they just found Annas's home, and it turns out that Annas's home was just about as palatial as Herod's. They were actually extremely wealthy people, and they knew how to collect the dough.
Wow.
But most importantly, Annas and his progeny, that is, his sons and grandsons, were most responsible for every single persecution of Christ and his people between AD 15 and AD 70. There was no other high priest that was responsible for the persecution of God's people as Annas, who he and his household were responsible for the persecution of God's people up until the destruction of Jerusalem. So, all right, the most evil man, the most wicked man in history would have been Annas and possibly Judas. Most courageous man in history outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. The runner-up would be Sanctus of Gaul and other persecuted saints. Sanctus of Gaul was one of the most courageous young men who was persecuted to death, tortured to death over a period of weeks in Gaul in roughly 170 AD. So Sanctus of Gaul, if you don't know the story, you've got to read the story. Of course, we have many instances of that story available to you in all of our curriculum. Friends, Sanctus of Gaul, amazing. Patrick of Ireland would be runner-up number two. Incredibly, incredibly courageous man, intrepid man. And of course, the story of Patrick is available in our curriculum as well. Runner-up number three would be William the Silent, who I believe to be one of the most amazing, most courageous men of all time. And the only political leader I know of in all of history who gave up everything to save his people from the worst possible persecution, the Inquisition, the Dutch Inquisition that came by way of the Spanish Holy Roman Empire in the 1540s and 1550s. The amazing man, of course, I tell the story in the story of freedom, but to win the silence, being an amazing man who gave up everything, including his own life, a contract out on his life was put by the emperor, and he was eventually shot down, but not before he had gained independence for the Dutch, and the story is phenomenal. No. And you've got to read the story of William the Silent. He's my hero in history. But he's not number one, not the most courageous man in history. The most courageous man in history has to be the Apostle Paul.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's anybody who competes with the Apostle Paul. Amazing man of God. What an amazing man of God. Frequently in death, from the Jews, five times received 40 stripes minus one, three times beaten with rods, once stoned, three times shipwrecked, a night and the day in the deep, in journeys often, perils of water, perils of robbers, etc., etc., etc. Steve, I have to tell you, I don't know anybody who was as persecuted as the Apostle Paul over his entire career as a missionary. I love the Apostle Paul, and maybe one reason why my parents gave me that middle name.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, the most wicked woman in history. I've got a couple runner-ups. Jezebel.
Wow, I would have thought she'd been...
She's a runner-up.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
She was responsible for some 300 deaths, I believe.
But yeah.
It was a pleasant affair. Another runner-up, Catherine de' Medici. She plotted the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre, in which the Protestants were massacred by the tens of thousands. Even the Catholics have admitted her to have resorted to witchcraft. The Catholic Encyclopedia calls her dictatorial, unscrupulous, calculating, and crafty. So she has no fans in history, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Catherine de' Medici was not a good woman. She's responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands.
Yeah.
But here's another runner-up, Mary Wollstonecraft, the mother of Mary Shelley. And many don't know of this. I tell the whole story in American God's Providence because she is one of the most powerful and influential women of all time. And Mary Wollstonecraft, the mother of Mary Shelley, was a prostitute, an anarchist, and the first feminist. She wrote a book in 1792 called A Vindication of the Rights of the Woman. She was a friend of Jeremy Bentham.
Wow.
And if you don't know the story, friends, you need to know. Because, friends, you've got to know why the world today is what it is today. It gets its start with Mary Wollstonecraft. And you'll find the whole dramatic story in American God's Providence. For the sheer destruction of womanhood, the brilliant yet wicked undermining of all of the Western world that we're facing today, Mary Wollstonecraft is almost the most wicked woman in history. But the winner is not Mary Wollstonecraft. The most wicked woman in history has got to be Margaret Sanger.
That's what I was going for. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. 2 billion babies dead since 1950. Maybe more because of her abortifacients.
Yeah.
Her contraceptive pill, which has such contraceptive and abortifacient quality. But she was a powerful eugenicist. She believed races should be exterminated in favor of better racial elements. Recently, a Christian blogger tried to defend the reputation of Margaret Sanger.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a conservative Christian blogger tried to defend the reputation of Margaret Sanger because there are some dubious quotes out there. But there really is no question about it that Margaret Sanger was a racist. She was a eugenicist. She was responsible for the murder of billions of babies around the world. And we have solid footnotes for our quotes from Margaret Sanger in American God's Providence. New York Times, April 8th, 1923, she used the term human weeds, defective stocks, and she preferred what she called, quote, the better racial elements. No question. She was a racist. Now, that's the worst woman in history, at least according to our measure. I think it's appropriate to take sides in history.
Oh, yeah.
There are heroes. There are goats. The most courageous woman in history, runner-up number one, would be Moses' mother.
Yeah.
Pro-life.
Yeah.
Number two would be Esther. If I perish, I perish.
Yeah.
I love this woman.
Yeah.
She saved her people from the dreadful tyrannical actions of Haman and others. And then there's Blandina. She would be a runner-up as well. And, of course, we treat these characters, especially characters like Esther, in the story of freedom. I have Esther in the story of freedom. I have Blandina in the our eighth grade history. I'm sorry, seventh grade history. And we have history's heroes. It's a course we provide. It's one of the critical courses for our young people. We recommend for seventh grade, but you could give it to your eighth grade students as well. And we tell the story of Blandina in that course. And then, of course, there's Anne Askew and the two Margarets. They would be runner-ups. They were persecuted under the persecutions that came through the Holy Roman Empire or the English persecutions. All right, but the winner in this category, the winner in this category for the most courageous woman in history is guess what? Well, here it is. The most courageous woman in history is Christian moms, anti-feminist moms, homeschooling moms in the 25th century who have the guts and the courage to stand against the zeitgeist. And they are facing down the pro-abortion, baby-hating, birth-controlling, family-undermining zeitgeist of our day. These are the greatest women in history in my book. All right, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast, my friends. Again, encourage you to our sale going on right now. You've got to read history. It's exciting. Take sides in history. I tell you, take sides in history. We do. So our history sale is going on right now. Free postage. That includes international sales, but it's a slightly different deal for international sales. For those of you domestically, we offer 35% off some of the packages, $25 free product value if you order over $50 or more, and savings could be as high as 70% this week, friends. So check it out at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.